Matthew chapter 1, verse 18, we find the call of the Son of the Living God being directed to just a young, I'm sure greatly innocent, little Jewish girl. I've asked the ladies if they would sing that song, as many of you probably recognize it from Sunday. When they sang that song this preceding Sunday, the thought that I have been pondering for Christmas time just was engulfed so vividly clear. Friend, in the day and age of Mary and Joseph, a baby out of wedlock changed everything. Nowhere near the measure of our society today and our culture. Church, we have to realize and understand the culture. Not only did a baby change everything, it changed the life of whomever it touched. Tonight, I want to take just a few moments and maybe help us understand or remember the gravity of what a God call to just a young teenage Jewish girl would have meant. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18, when the salutation begins, the Bible says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on the wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost." And friend, we read those words as if they're words on paper. And sure, we ponder the meaning. But do we truly understand the significance? Verse 19 says, "Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily." Why? Because that kind of thing didn't happen. Do you understand that was a lifelong scarlet letter? Verse 20 reads, "But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared," probably because he realizes Joseph's about to do something upright and righteous in thought and meaning according to the culture, but I can't let him do what he's about to do. "The Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet." But you see, at that point in time, nobody's necessarily remembering what the prophet said. This young Jewish girl is thinking, "My life, my reputation, everything about me has just changed." Verse 23 says, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel," which is being interpreted, "God with us." Lord, we cannot for any moment in time in our culture and in our society of today, Lord God, gather the measure of what this salutation to this young Jewish girl meant. Lord God, with a perspective of trying to evaluate and trying to realize, trying to recognize, but Lord God, the reality of it being, until one hath lived that moment, Lord, it'd be hard for us to ever understand fully. Lord, for just a few moments tonight on the eve of this celebration of you being manifest to man, not born into existence, Lord, Jesus Christ, you always existed, but being given to mankind as a gift that would provide the only gateway to eternal life. Lord, bless this short little message this evening to your glory and your honor. In Jesus' name, amen. The song, Baby, Changes Everything. Again, oh, how true it was. Even in our modern society, the birth of a newborn child changes everything about the life of everyone connected to it, but especially the drastic and enormous change to all individuals directly connected to the birth of this newborn. But I believe it would be fair to say that no one is as affected as the mother of that precious new life. It's a joyous occasion, seeing new life come into the world, giving birth to a newborn babe. It's a joyous occasion. But even though it's a joyous occasion, when it happens by surprise or unexpectation, it is also a very, very scary one as well. I don't know if there's ever been news of an unexpected pregnancy to a young mother that has not carried an element of fear and the unknown about it. What now? What next? Especially if that young mother is unwed. And please look up here. Not only young, but Mary had never been given birth before or been a mother prior. Sure, it's a joyous occasion when we look back upon it nearly 2,000 years later. But for a young teenage Jewish girl, in a culture of God's people, this is a scary moment. This is a moment of great gravity. There's a gravity that accompanies such news and the following preparations, or may I even say dealing with the fallout, and all of it can become easily overwhelming. Now that's our culture. It's overwhelming in our culture. But friend, we must understand the culture of Mary and Joseph. And I'd like to take a few moments that we have this Christmas Eve and draw our thoughts to this news being delivered in Mary, in a time of Mary and Joseph's culture. Because it is different. It did mean something different. This was some of the very, very impactful, may I even say, quakening news of great gravity. And for just a few moments this evening, I'd like to share a thought I've titled, Garnishing the Gravity of God's Gift. Because, friend, in Mary's culture, an unwed mother situation carried a great and, yes, shunning consequence. What would the pre-Christ religious society of God's chosen people say? What would her friends think? What would her reputation as a very young espoused maiden in a religious and religiously conservative culture in which they were part of become? Her reputation would be completely ruined. What would the dreams and ambitions of her espousalship with Joseph, the man she had fallen in love with, the man that had stolen her heart, if you will, please look up here. What would his reaction be? How's this man that I've fallen in love with and it's stolen my heart? We had these dreams and these ambitions and these thoughts and we're trying to begin a new life. And what will his reaction be? This thing, as any such a thing in her day, had great potential of literally destroying her. Not just destroying her, but destroying who she had worked so hard to become. Yes, she was a young maiden girl that had found favor in the eyes of God. But do you understand the news that the angel Gabriel has just delivered to her is going to steal away any favor that she would have gained through those years and that character in the society in which she dwelt? The Bible says in Luke 1, verse 27 to 28, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Now pause just for a moment. This is during a time in which God may bring certain signs upon his people during major eventful situations, but they happen with great rarity. And they were, at very least, scary and life-altering, every single one of them. The Bible goes on to say in verse 29, and when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, well, yeah. I would say that would be a normal reaction. Mary, you're favored of God Almighty. It's going to place, by the gift of the Holy Ghost of God in your womb, a child that will be born. And in the latter part of the verse says, it cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. Listen to me, please. You need to envision a young Jewish maiden girl. Y'all understand what a maiden girl is, right? Most scholars assess she would have maybe been in her mid to possibly even later teens. This is a teenager, friend. The Bible doesn't state Mary's exact age, but historically and culturally, context suggests that she was likely a young teenager, most often estimated around 13 to 16 years of age. She's a baby herself. But it was at the age of 13 to 16 that girls soon after physical womanhood would begin that era of being married. This was their culture. And she's scared. Friend, she's probably standing there literally shaking uncontrollably as she receives this salutation from an angel that has appeared onto her. This is not light news. This is not an easy message for her to receive. Verse 30 says, and the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary. You know why Gabriel told her not to be afraid? Because she was scared to death. For thou hast found favor with God. Now, friend, that's a wonderful thing to hear for us or young Mary. But neighbor, listen to me. Please understand the gravity for a moment. Gabriel goes on to share this with this scared, shaking, terrified young teenage girl. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Wait, what? You're going to do what? I'm going to do what? Mary, I'm sure, musters up what little courage she has and asks the obvious question. We see it in verse 34 of that chapter. How shall this be? Seeing I know not a man. She looks at Gabriel and she says, if I can kind of articulate what's on her heart, she says, listen, Gabriel, sir, angel, we both understand how this thing works, correct? And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee. The power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Friend, if I can put this into modern verbiage, this is heavy. As Gabriel was sharing this news to a young, scared, shaking, terrified, and I would imagine emotional ball of mess young girl. He tries to lend some comfort to her fright and shares with her what has happened to her cousin, whom I would imagine very possibly realizes Elizabeth has been barren, a barren lady up until this point. It was her cousin. And you do understand in a Jewish culture of this day, a woman's worth was somewhat determined by her ability to provide a husband, a man-child, to carry on the lineage of her husband's name among the people. That was the worth of a woman. Now, I'm not here to lay out or dispute or discuss even what that all means in accordance to the discrepancies of our culture. But friend, listen, that was what was of the day. A woman's worth was determined by her ability to give a man-child to her husband. Why? Because that's what carried on through the lineage. Isaiah, the son of Amos. David, the son of Jesse. Boaz, the son of Solomon. Solomon, the son of David. Joseph, the son of Jacob. Jesus, the son of God. Do you get the gist? This was a woman's worth. And he tries to comfort Mary by saying, listen, God has gifted your cousin Elizabeth to bring forth a forerunner child for the very godchild you will carry in your womb. Mary, realizing that her cousin Elizabeth has been barren of that. So sure, I'm certain that it lended a little comfort, a little confirmation, if you will. But friend, listen, this is still a very scary moment. So Gabriel shares with Mary, verse 36 and 37, and behold, thy cousin Elizabeth shall have also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren, for with God nothing shall be impossible. Mary's standing there, and I'm imagining shocked, questioning, probably even near brokenness of this news, looks at the angel Gabriel, and I would think with a shuddering voice, and says, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it according to thy word, God. Understand all this? I don't know how all this is going to happen. And I sure don't know what's going to be left of me once it happens. But so be it, according to the Lord. Have you ever found yourself in that place where God's doing some things that you don't fully understand and you realize it's going to change so much, if not everything, about your life? And you find yourself there scared, wondering, imagining. And in surrender, you speak the words that are hard words at times to speak. So be it, Lord, according to thy will. Friend, this is where this little Jewish girl is. Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it according to thy word. And the latter part of the verse says, and the angel departed from her. You know, the gift of God to man that would begin salvation's pathway for eternal life is such a glorious story. It's one full of grace and mercy. It's one filled with love and redemption. It's one compiled with amazement and majesty. But sometimes it doth us well to be reminded of the human aspect of all this as well. You know, God uses common men and women to do miraculous things for his kingdom, for his glory. The story of Jesus Christ being manifest to man is no different. I mean, sometimes it's a simple shepherd boy whom God makes a king. Sometimes it's a herdsman. God makes a prophet. Sometimes it's the fallout from an illegitimate child. It creates the man of greatest wisdom to ever live. Sometimes a young deceiver who had lost his way to birth a nation of people that would be called the children of the living God. Sometimes, this time, it was a little teenage girl with dreams, ambitions, to start a new life with a man she loves, just trying to do things right, the right way. And the Trinity of God comes along and turns the world upside down so that he can institute a divine plan never imagined by the human mind that will change the world and mankind for all of ever. Friend, this wasn't just a simple salutation. This was a message to a little Jewish girl that not only would change the world, but to change the world, it had to change the life, the ideas, the thoughts, and the imaginings of that very same little Jewish girl. Because, friend, a baby changes everything. You know, God has a plan. Yes, a divine plan for each and every one of us. If you're willing to stay receptive, he may just, in his grace and mercy, allow us to make a difference for the kingdom of God. Maybe even mankind. If we're willing to stay receptive. In those moments when God calls us into those scary times, those scary places, which we don't know the outcome of, and it's only unbeknown to us, when we're willing to say, so be it, according to the word of the Lord. The story of Jesus Christ, it'll never grow old. But friend, I wonder how many times we honestly realize the gravity of it all, of when it was taking place. Merry Christmas. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. This taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was out of the house and of the lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. She brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. The glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And there shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill to man. Away in a manger, no crib for a bed. Join me. The little Lord Jesus laid down his sweet head. The stars in the sky looked down where he lay. The little Lord Jesus asleep on the hay. Oh, our lowing. Go ahead. Sing it. Lord Jesus, no crying he makes. I love thee, Lord Jesus. Cradle till morning is not garnishing the gravity of God's gift. Now I'm imagining if you're here tonight, you believe in this amazing redemption story of all mankind. But I ask you this Christmas Eve, have you participated personally? He came for a reason. To save our souls from a damnation of hell. It is something we have to personally participate in. It is a penalty or a warranting that we must personally accept and ask God Almighty of the precious gift to take it from us. I pray tonight, as the morning breaks for the celebration of Jesus Christ and his manifestation of man to man for the salvation of man, have you participated in that salvation? Have you allowed it to become yours? Oh, come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant, O come ye, O come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, join the King of angels. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Heavenly Father, thank you for these short moments, Lord God, to remember, to reflect, and maybe, Lord God, to be challenged in just a little bit of a way of understanding the gravity that this young Jewish maiden girl would have gone through as she received this salutation from an angel sent from God. Bless our Christmas, Lord. Lord God, bless us with memories in celebration of the most precious gift ever given to man, the gift of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen.